Welcome to the Soap Video Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working our way through the book of Romans, and we've come to our third week, and doing a couple of chapters at a time. This is, we're in chapters 5 and 6, and just eking into chapter 7 a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
This week.
Yeah, so last week, we continued. I want to make sure we didn't knock everybody out.
but these are
doctrinally rich chapters.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of glazing over it. We're kind of doing the frosting thing on it versus really digging into it. And we know that's intentional. Otherwise, these videos would be much longer. We're trying to keep them down a little bit. But last week there was a ton of stuff. But we ended with seeing that Abraham was declared righteous through faith.
Yeah,
and we kind of stuck on that for a while too, because there was a lot there. He decided to follow God before he really knew anything. You know, God gave him. Yeah. God said, "Here's what I'm going to do for you." And Abraham trusted him on that. And for that, he was declared righteous. So he wasn't circumcised. There wasn't a Jewish nation yet.
Right.
Literally, right? I mean, there wasn't a nation.
God had not
even... His wife hadn't had kids yet.
Yeah, God hadn't even fully made the covenant. He promised, this is what I'm going to do. But the covenant didn't take place until after Abraham believed God. And now God said, let's move on with this.
Kind of wild, right? So, but we also made that leap into Christianity today is really founded on the same thing.
Yeah.
Trusting in God, there's definitely a faith aspect that God will do what he says he's going to do.
Yeah. Salvation, the way we say it today, and this somewhat comes out of the Reformation, in 1517, and later, but salvation is by grace alone. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? And that's always been the case, even before Jesus died. And this is really interesting. I don't think I mentioned it, but in chapter 3, it says that God sort of overlooked past sins. Not that he didn't care about them, but he was waiting for Christ until, in the big plan, he was waiting for Christ to die so that those past sins would be taken care of instead of just covered. Right? So now we can look forward and Christ has already taken care of it. Back then, they're like, okay, I'm doing all this stuff. I hope it's good enough. And God says, just hold on. I've got a plan.
Yeah.
Wow. It's coming.
Wow. Yeah. So Paul starts out, again, last week with Abraham with faith. And then this week basically says the same thing to us as Christians and really presents it as hope.
Yeah.
Right. In there, which is, an odd word sometimes, from the standpoint of really, you're basing everything on hope.
Hope, right? Yeah. Well, biblically, the word hope is not just wish. Like sometimes we use it.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it doesn't snow this week is my thing. I hope it doesn't snow this week. No control over that or whatever.
Right.
But in biblically, especially with God, hope has an anticipation aspect, an expectation. For instance, the rapture is called our blessed hope. Okay. Not, I hope Jesus comes back, someday.
That's the key.
I know he's coming back. I don't know when, but there's that anticipation and expectation that I can count on it. And that's how he's using the word hope here too. We can count on God. Our hope is in him.
Yeah. I like to, early on, Paul in the readings this week says that Jesus died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me sit back and think about it and was like, yeah, that's right. There weren't Christians at that time. Jesus decided to die while everyone was a sinner, while he was really the bad guy.
Yep.
He got sent to the cross for us and willingly did that for us. Wow.
Yeah. And it goes even verse 8 then, after verse 6, verse 8, this is how God demonstrated his love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's real similar to John 3:16.
Yep.
This is how, the word so, for God so loved the world, the Greek word behind so means in this way, right?
This is
how God loved the world. Yeah. He gave his son.
Yeah.
Right? This is how God demonstrated his love. while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So another Romans road verse. Yep. We talked about it last week or two, that there are a number of verses in Romans that can be used to help lead others to Christ.
Yep.
Using the ABC theory.
Yeah.
This is a great verse.
Yeah,
small verse in there. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with
it. Yeah, well, 3:23, we've already seen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yep.
And now 5:8 is, while we were still sinners, because we all have sinned.
Right. Well, and that's Christ, the A, right? Yeah, admit that you're a sinner. Now the B is believe. Believe in Christ and what he did. You know, there's
this
always
is what he did. Yeah.
This is what he did.
And there's another one in this week's reading too, at the end of chapter 6, is the reason that Christ died for us while we were still sinners is because chapter 6 verse 23, because the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we can see, this is why, you know, you said the verse. Romans road. We keep walking down the road through these verses.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So Paul actually calls us enemies.
Yeah.
Right? We are enemies of God.
Yep.
But then we were reconciled through his death.
Yeah. And the word reconciled here means to turn to face. It doesn't mean, it's not the same as justification. It's not the same as righteousness. But when two groups are, or two persons are reconciled, they're at least looking at each other. Okay. It's not like, so when we were enemies, God is here and we have our backs to him going the opposite direction. At the cross, now we come face to face with the reality of what things are. We're not reconciled in that, everything's wonderful yet, because while we were still sinners, we were reconciled. And since then, being reconciled as sinners, how much more, he says, will we be saved through that? Right?
Yeah.
Not everybody who's a sinner will be saved, but everybody who's a sinner has now been brought face to face with the reality of God's love on the cross and can be saved.
Right. Right. Wow. Some heavy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So some really, really great stuff.
Yeah. So Paul then goes back all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 in the fall with Adam. Sin entered the world through one man.
Yep.
So he's talking about Adam, and death through sin, which is also in Genesis there.
Yep.
And then spread to everybody because we've all sinned.
Yeah.
So kind of doing a history lesson or a creation lesson on why we need Jesus.
Yep. Right? Yep. Because and he already said, you know, in chapters 1 through 3, everybody's a sinner. But where did that come? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't know that I would call myself a sinner. You know, I make mistakes every once in a while. He said, let's go back. Like he said, let's go all the way back. When Adam sinned, he did so as the representative of the entire human race.
Yeah. So is that original sin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's we won't use the term original sin the same way like the Catholic Church uses it, because in their case, they would say that original sin can be wiped or washed away through baptism. We use the term original sin really more along the lines of a sin nature that is inside of us that we can't get rid of until we die, but it can be overpowered in chapter 6. And I had a professor in a seminary who said that verses 12 through 21 here in chapter 5, he called it the watershed of Christian theology. He said, what you do with this passage, how you understand this passage, will affect pretty much everything else that you believe. And it starts with, why am I guilty of sin? You know, is it just, you know, well, Adam sinned and therefore, the whole human race falls under the curse now of Adam's curse. And what we see in this passage is that if we stay connected to Adam, everyone connected to Adam, we all die. Everyone connected to Christ all live. So am I living out Adam's race, or am I living out the new Christian, the Christ's life, Adam's life or Christ's life? And some people will look at this and say, but it says that in Christ, all will live. Does that mean that everybody's saved? No, only those in Christ. We're all in Adam. Not everybody's in Christ.
Right.
So we go back and forth there.
Yeah.
And it ends with grace. And I think we mentioned this, I think I mentioned this last week, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so the natural question at the beginning of chapter 6 is, well, then, shouldn't I just keep on sinning so that grace can keep on abounding?
Yeah. We talked about this for the last couple of weeks that that Paul sees the world that if I'm a sinner, you know, shouldn't I sin more right. so God's grace will just show
won't it glorify God yeah. if he's dumping out all this grace because I sin more?
I think he's trying to get ahead of the people that are saying that. Well, yeah, I'm helping God by sinning more.
Yeah, right. But if God is glorified,
well, then we should do it more.
Absolutely.
Anyways, the answer to that question is no.
No. And then he starts bringing in this concept of we who have died to sin. And so coming out of chapter 5, again, because context right. matters, coming out of chapter 5, dying to sin means that shift between living in Adam to now living in Christ.
Okay. Or as we would say, they're now a Christian. They've accepted Christ in their lives.
Right.
They have faith.
So on the path, what we're shifting to now is, if we were outlining Romans, chapters 1 through 3 would be unbelievers, lost, need salvation. Chapters 4 and 5 would be faith, the faith aspect.
Right.
Starting with chapter 6 now, on the path, we see excellence. Yeah. You're saved. Now what are you going to do about that?
Yeah. What's next?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
And Paul brings up our old man.
Yeah. That's that sin nature that I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, because you could take it a number of different ways. For old man, and you know, are we talking somebody age? Are we yeah. talking, you know, some old guy yep. from before? But he is talking about previous, but the way we were before,
yeah,
which we are no longer. But so well, he we're refers not to that in a couple of his.
Yep, yep. There's this back and forth. We're not supposed to be like that any longer.
Yeah, we obviously still fall in there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I love verse 14 in there. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. So we know we're not under the Mosaic law, and we know that the Mosaic law, you know, was impossible to fulfill.
Right.
And we also learned, I think, last week that the law actually informed us what was sin, or gave us an understanding of what is sinful.
Yeah.
So it did definitely have benefit there. But we're under grace.
Yeah.
And the huge difference is, are we going to follow a bunch of laws that we're trying not to break and doing our best so we can put a bunch of check marks?
Yep.
Or is it just understanding that, man, you know, I'm just living my life for him.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a fundamental difference in a thought process. In
yeah.
The way you approach life.
It really, it's a whole completely different worldview. Now, that doesn't mean, and Paul was accused of saying this even back then and still today, that doesn't mean that we have no law. We can do anything we want.
Right. Yeah,
that's not, there's still he talks about the law of Christ, you know, because Christ fulfilled the Mosaic law. He fulfilled God's perfect standard across the board. And if we are in Christ, we should be living that out. But the difference between punishment and law versus discipline under grace is fundamentally yeah. different,
yeah.
right? And so what he says in verses 12 and 13 leading into 14 is, so we're not looking for sacrifices and all this other stuff anymore because that's old system. He says, present your body parts to be used by God for his glory because we're not under law anymore. We're under grace. And so give yourself to God and let God work through you. And then in the end of the chapter, because you will be a slave to something. You can either be a slave to God, a servant of God's, or to go this way, a servant of God's, or you can go back under the old system
yeah.
and be a slave to sin. And it's your choice. I mean, this is a choice yeah. for a Christian,
right.
for a believer,
right.
who you're going to serve.
Right. And then I think we end 6 with like you had said, for the wages of sin is death.
Yep.
But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yep.
Again, another Romans Road word. The net has the payoff of sin is death, which is good because usually you have to explain the whole wages part.
Yeah.
Hey, what'd you earn?
Yeah.
I earned death.
I earned death, yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, I had a job, and the job that I did, okay, what's my payment?
Yeah. Yeah, every year we get our W-2s, right, from our companies. Yeah, you know, if you have a job, you get your W-2, and I say, there's a little box. It says wages.
Yep.
I put in the time. This is what I earned. You owe me. God says, you put in the time.
Here's what
you earned. I owe you death. In your little, you know, spiritual W-2, the wages is death. Your hourly is sin. Or salary is sin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. But it's a gift. Now, he goes into chapter 7. We're just going to get into chapter 7, just a couple of verses here, because chapter 7 is Paul. There's a transition between 6 and 8 where Paul sort of remembers faith, you know, being saved, remembers faith, and remembers trying to obey the law. He's like, well, okay, I couldn't obey the law before Jesus, but now under Jesus, now I can obey the law. He's like, that still doesn't work. Yeah. It still doesn't work. And we'll finish this next week and transition into 8. But the concept that we find here is, I thought that sometimes new Christians think, okay, now I'm saved, now I can be good.
Right.
And we still keep that checklist mentality that you were talking about, and because we just haven't matured yet. We haven't moved into the new worldview. We don't understand grace. So we're saved with a checklist. And that's what chapter 7 is about, is Paul saying, yeah, the whole checklist thing still didn't work even after I was saved. Yeah. There's still a disconnect going on there.
You want it to work. Right? Yeah. You're putting your effort into it.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. We'll just do a little bit of reading this week, but in next week's video, we'll spend more time, I think, talking about chapter 7, because 7 really sets up his conclusion in chapter 8.
Okay.
And so, but you can start reading into chapter 7, and it's not about that the law itself is bad. It's what is the law doing, you know, what is God's moral code doing in us? And if we treat it like a checklist, it's just not going to work.
Good. I think we're in there this week, don't we?
Yeah. That brings us to the end of this week's. Okay. So, again, we always hope that you find it helpful. And so, ask your questions. Feel free. This is a great series to ask a lot of questions.
Yes, it is.
And we'll do our best to answer them. And you can email or text or you know, make a comment here on the video. And we'll do our best to answer the questions, and we'll be back next week, and we'll start to see how this worldview can really shift. So if you're struggling with this concept of I know I'm saved, but I just can't keep doing good. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Keep reading, because Paul is going to help us shift into that new mindset next week.
Good.
All right.
Can't wait for it.
Good. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.